single halacha in Yichud. There are certain dinim that we are not discussing. There are halachos about Yichud with an androgynous, or things like that, which we just are not getting into. The assumption is that we are trying to cover all of the halachos that come up frequently. Just by interest, so we've decided that next week we're going to have a shiur about lying, lying in halacha, which is somewhat relevant for Parshas Toldos. And then the week afterwards is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And apparently that is already the beginning of the Yontif of Thanksgiving, so I think we will not have a shiur 2 weeks, Erev Yontif, right? 2 weeks from tonight. And then afterwards we'll continue probably discussing other topics related to lying and stealing and exciting things like that. So tonight's shiur, the last topic to cover in Yichud, I've decided to title It's All Relative. And the question is, which relatives are we permitted to have Yichud with, and which relatives are we forbidden to have Yichud with? With whom may we be secluded, and with whom may we not be secluded? So, the Mishnah tells us, at the end of the Mishnah here, in the first source, the Mishnah begins saying that you shouldn't have Yichud to women, that we discussed already. And then the second line, towards the end of the line, says, Misyachid Adam im imo v'im bito, v'yashin imahem b'kiruv basar. Right? The halacha is that you're allowed to have Yichud, you're allowed to be secluded with your mother and with your daughter, and you're even allowed to sleep with them. V'im higdilu zu yishana b'chsusa, v'ze yashin b'chsusa. Once they grow up, so he should sleep dressed, and she should sleep dressed, etc. So the Mishnah only mentions that Yichud is permitted with a mother and with a daughter. It does not mention anyone else. Now, obviously, Yichud is also permitted with your wife when she's a Nida. That's a Gemara elsewhere. It's a Gemara at the beginning of Sota. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. So we know mother and daughter, but we do not know anyone else. Presumably, everyone else should be forbidden, right? The assumption is that Yichud is forbidden with everyone who's in Erva, any woman who you can't marry. So that would mean that you can't have Yichud with your aunts and with anyone else. By the way, I'm always phrasing it from the male perspective, just it's easier for me to think that way. But everything works in both directions. But even so, the Gemara has an interesting comment. In the second source, Misyachid Adam im Imo, the Gemara says, I'm allowed to have Yichud with my mother. Amrav Yehuda, Amrav Asi, Misyachid Adam im Achoso, Vidar im Imo, Vim Bito. That Yichud is permitted with your sister, and you're allowed to live with your mother and with your daughter. Okay, so now, what's the difference between Yichud is permitted with your sister? In other words, you're allowed to be secluded, but you can't live with her. Right? A brother and a sister should not live together. That is Rav Asi's understanding. Ki amara kameh de Shmuel, when he said this over to Shmuel, Amar, asur lehisyached im kol arayos sheba Torah, afilo im behema. Shmuel was more machmir. So on the one hand, we have Rav Asi giving us this kula, the leniency, that you're allowed to be secluded with your sister. And Shmuel, presumably, is not arguing with the Mishnah. He's not saying that Yichud with a mother is forbidden, and Yichud with a daughter is forbidden, but he is saying that's forbidden to have Yichud with your sister. Shmuel says that Yichud is forbidden with every erva, every woman who you can't marry, and even with a behema, even with an animal, Yichud is forbidden. In the Gemara points out that this is actually machlokas in the Tanoim. That's what the Gemara continues to say. Okay, so it's a machlokas. So how do we paskin? Is Yichud permitted with your sister or not? And Rav Asi says that Yichud is permitted with your sister, but living together, sharing an apartment is forbidden. What exactly is the cutoff between Yichud and between sharing an apartment? None of this is clear. So if you look in the Rush tells us that he quotes the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Ravasi, etc., what we just read. And then he says, Paskul ha Tosfos de Hilchasa k'Rav Asi. Right? Tosfos Paskins that the halacha is like Rav Asi, in other words, that Yichud is permitted with your sister, because if Yishinereshaya Gadol Mishmuel, he was older. Gadol doesn't necessarily mean greater, it means he was older, and he brings a Gemara, etc. Fine. So the Rush Paskins like Rav Asi. But even so, what's very interesting is, when we look in Shulchan Aruch, what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? This is a problem. Shulchan Aruch says, it's Asur l'hisyachedim erva me'arayos, the fourth source, Yichud with any person who you can't marry is forbidden, whether she's old or young, ben zakena ben yalda, shedavrzei gomrei mugalos erva, and the only exceptions are, chutz me'ha'em im bina, va'av im bito, va'ha'ba'al im ishto nida. The only three exceptions are a son with his mother, a father with his daughter, and a husband with his wife when she's in need. Those are the only exceptions. So conspicuously absent is the sister. Shulchan Aruch does not say that Yichud is permitted with your sister.
How does the Rambam paskin?
The Rambam also does not paskin that Yichud is permitted with your sister. This is a point that the Beis Shmuel makes. But they all ask, like, what's going on here? Why are we not paskining that Yichud is permitted with your sister? So, the Beis Shmuel argues that, in fact, Yichud with your sister is forbidden. In fact, the Beis Shmuel says that since Shulchan Aruch, I give it to you, I'm not lying, u'bishas mevuar, that Rav Asi said, it's mutar l'yachid machoso. Did we ever speak about who the Beis Shmuel was? The Beis Shmuel was the Dayan in Vilna in the 1630s and 40s. He wrote the first commentary on Evan HaEzer. The Beis Shmuel was also the head of the Beis Din that the Shach was the junior Dayan on. The Shach was taken onto this Beis Din when he was around the age of 15, because he knew everything. And so the Beis Shmuel is the senior Dayan, and the Shach is his junior person. So the Beis Shmuel comments, and these are the first rabbis that we know of in Vilna, which is also interesting. Historically, the opening of the University of Vilna was in 1629, and that's the first time that we know that there are rabbis around Vilna. There seems to always be a connection between Torah and Mada. Right? That there are, whenever there's a university that opens up, suddenly you have an influx of rabbinic activity. So the Gemara says, that Rav Asi says that Yichud is permitted with your sister, lefi sha'a, if it's temporary, and you're allowed to live with your mother permanently, because of Arash, let me pass like Rav Asi, ve'eni yodeya, vav alef yud, means, I don't know. Ve'eni yodeya, lama harambam v'hator hishmitu. I don't know why the Rambam and the Torah left it out, and it could be, ve'efshar desvirulei, even though the halacha is like Rav Asi, b'ma z'polimim shmuel, avo masha hosam amas nisim las hilchus akavosei. Says the Beis Shmuel, very interesting. Okay. If you would paskin like Shmuel, that would mean that you would hold that Yichud is forbidden with an animal. Yichud is forbidden between males. Whenever there's an arayos, according to Shmuel, Yichud is forbidden. That means you cannot have a dog. Right? Or you can have a dog as long as you always have Pesach Pasuach Moshe Sarabim. Or however we solve these issues.
It means you can't be alone with anybody,
really. Right. According to Shmuel, Yichud is forbidden with anyone who you can't marry. And obviously, we don't paskin like Shmuel, because we all have Yichud with our animals, and right, that's obviously permitted. So the Beis Shmuel wants to suggest, well, we don't hold like that aspect of Shmuel. We don't hold that Yichud is forbidden with all arayos, but we do hold, like Shmuel, that we limit the women with whom Yichud is permitted. So it's only permitted with those who are mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah, a mother and a daughter, and not with a sister. That's what the Beis Shmuel wants to say. So according to Beis Shmuel, Yichud with a sister is forbidden. That's what he paskins. My sister would kill me if she heard this shir. Yeah.
I think we brought up in week one or week two about Ngozi Mzeel and Zera. And it would seem that, you know, the sister is a second Zera on top of the original Zera.
But remember, we're dealing with the Oraisas here. You're right. We tried to have a very fancy piece of Torah that even on the level of the Oraisas, it didn't go from Gezerah to Gezerah. But I don't know if it's a Gezerah to Gezerah, because when Chazal, when the Torah says that Yichud is Aser, the Torah means that Yichud is Aser with Arayos. What difference is there between your aunt and your sister, or between your sister and your friend's wife. They're both arayos, right? And Isha Sish and your sister. What's the difference? So it's very difficult. Other achronim disagree with the Beis Shmuel. The Chokas Mechokek says, yeah, Shulchan Aruch leaves it out, but really we hold its mutter, so therefore you should avoid it. You should avoid Yichud with your sister. He's a step lower than the Beis Shmuel. The Chazon Ish, however, is quoted. Someone asked the Chazon Ish. It takes a lot of chutzpah to ask the Chazon Ish a question like this. The Chazon Ish had a sister who was married to the Stipler. Right? And apparently the Stipler would sometimes go into Yerushalayim for a few days to say Shi'urim. He didn't give that many Shi'urim. He had difficulty speaking. That's why he used to write Svarim. But the Stipler would occasionally go into Yerushalayim, and the Chazon Ish, for some reason, the Chazon Ish's sister used to prepare all of his meals for him. There, if you read the Chazon Ish's biography, you'll understand why this is true. But the Chazon Ish would have Yichud with his sister, even when her husband was not in town. And someone had the chutzpah to ask the Chazon Ish, what's your heter to do this? It says in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to have Yichud with your sister. So the Chazon Ish answered that we do not pass in halachos based on Shulchan Aruch. We pass in based on the Gemara. Now, in terms of the methodology of how halacha works, this is fascinating. And the Chazon Ish himself, it's quoted in this book, the Devar Halacha, which is written by Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's brother-in-law. This is like the classic on Yichud. On page 17, note 5, he tells the story about the Chazon Ish would have Yichud with his sister, even though her husband was not in the city. And the Chazon Ish said, because we pass in Shiloh based on the Gemara. And all of the later Yichud Svarim say that no one is machmir on this. There is no one in B'nai Brak, no, none of the briskers, I don't know of anyone on this planet who is machmir not to have Yichud with their sisters, even though if we would pass in just straight from Shulchan Aruch, it would seem that Yichud with the sister should be forbidden. But no one does this. Now, why is it, first of all, let's just talk for a minute, the way we paskin, so Yichud with a sister is permitted, like Rav Asi in the Gemara, but you can't live together, you can't rent an apartment together. What's considered renting an apartment together? How long, let's say the parents go on vacation and they leave the brother and sister home. There's one, I would have loved this as a high school kid. This would have been amazing. I'd kick my sister out. This would have been great. Or she would have kicked me out. That's more likely.
Is she older?
She's 3 years older than I am. What's the story? Is that permitted? Is that forbidden? When parents go on vacation, is that considered living together? It's unclear what the shear of living together is. It's unclear. The Tshuvos of the Imre Yosher, which is Rav Meir Arik, he was also a great Polish Agoin, he felt that the halacha is that a brother and a sister can take a room together in a hotel as long as they're not together for 30 days. 30 days is considered kfiyas. Other poskim say that it's a very bad idea for a brother and a sister to take a room together because it just looks wrong. You should tell everyone if you're going to take a room with your sister that she's your sister, and that's actually an Avos Reb Nosson. It's an Avos Reb Nosson.
Like Avraham did?
Okay. Fair point. So Rav Meir Arik says it means 30 days. Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Tshuvos doesn't want to give a firm shear. He says it depends whether you're living together like you actually live there or if you're still living out of a suitcase. If you're living like it's a temporary type of arrangement, so then it's a problem. Now, the difficulty with Rav Moshe's psak is when parents go on vacation, it might be more of a problem. Right? For Rav Meir Arik, you have 30 days. For Rav Moshe, if you actually live there, it's more of a problem than if you're just traveling. I don't know what to do with this, but that's just what the poskim say, yeah.
Well, the thing is, if the parents are going on vacation, a limited time. They'll be back.
That's true, but I know cases where parents go on vacation for quite a significant amount of time. Parents can take 2 weeks, 3 weeks. What? A sabbatical. Yeah.
I heard another sheet a long time ago, so whatever. But I was actually rather, I didn't know this. I thought that's really interesting because I have known of brother and sister who did set up housekeeping.
Right.
But,
so...
happened in the course of it was, like, if somebody's out of a job and they're sleeping on your couch for, you know, X number of months or whatever, as long as it's understood to be
a temporary arrangement.
Even though it extends for a while.
Yeah, so Rav Moshe says that in the context of sisters, we'll talk about other relatives in a few minutes, but in the context of sisters, Rav Moshe says this. We'll try to flesh out a little bit more in terms of what other temporary arrangements on Mutter and Yichud. It is a bit of a strange type of situation. We began the Shir Mang Yichud by saying there's a Shir of Yichud. A certain amount of time you're allowed to be secluded. And how long is that? Let's say 8 minutes, 6 minutes, whatever it is. And now you're living together for, what, 3 weeks, and that's still permitted. But for it is a little bit hard to understand, but that seems to be the way the halacha goes down. Now, okay, so that's the discussion in Rav Moshe and Rav Meir Arik. Now, what's the reason why we're making Yichud with a sister? What's the reason for this? Right, Yichud with any Erva is forbidden, but with a sister, the Yichud is permitted unless you're living together, unless it's Darvik Fius. What's the reason? Yeah.
Question about parents. Are grandparents in the same?
Oh, okay, yeah, so I should mention that. So, grandparents, Kol Yotzei Chalotzav, it goes all... Right, anyone who grandparent, grandchildren, great grandchildren, grandparents, great grandparents, Yichud is heter gomer with anyone who is a direct descendant.
There's no disagreement on that?
No disagreement. I should say it like this. The Pisrei Tshuva says, quotes from the Bach, and he says that the note of Yehuda disagrees. That's why it appears in the Pisrei Tshuva. The later some point out that we don't know exactly which note of Yehuda the Pisrei Tshuva is reading, but that doesn't appear in our note of Yehuda's. So, yeah, there is no disagreement, practically speaking. Fine. So both Rashi and the Tosos HaRash. Now Tosos HaRash is not written by the Rash. Tosos HaRash is a set of Tosfos that the Rash took with him. In the history of Halacha, they were very important because the Rash made the trip from France to Spain, from Germany to Spain, right? And the Rash carried with him a set of Tosos, which we call the Tosos HaRash. And when the Spanish Rishonim, you see the Ramban and the Ritva shouldn't really have access to Tosos. They shouldn't really have books from France and Germany. When the Rishonim in Spain got that, that's all because they got the Tosos that the Rush carried with him to Spain. So, the Tosos HaRush here in Kedushin, and Rashi in Kedushin also, they both say the same type of idea. Misyachid Adam im Acho. So what's the reason? So they say, Dilo migri yetzer hara bikrovos me anshe knesses hagedola ve'elach. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that anshe knesses hagedola davened at one point that the yetzer hara, the desire that a person has, should not apply to his relatives. So once anshe knesses hagedola got rid of the yetzer hara for your relatives, so therefore there is no iser yichud. So he asks, one second, if there's an iser d'oraisa of yichud with relatives, how can the Anshe Knesses HaGadol say, well, there's no longer Yitzhahara, how can we get rid of it? That's a Tosus HaRosh's question. The Tema, Heichakun and Isser Yichud Oraisa me Anshe Knesses HaGadol of Eilech. So Rabbeinu Ochanan explains that, no, that's all based on the reason. Since the Pasuk that we learn that the Heter, the Isser of Yichud, is from the fact that Yichud is permitted with your mother, and we have an assumption, a psychological assumption, that no person has desires for his mother, no normal person, but Madaita Yitzhak and the Adam, one of my Rebbeim in high school, used to joke that if you don't fall in that category, that means that you're just not a human being. But the fact is that Rabbi Nochan says that once we have a heter of Yichud with your mother, and the assumption is that the underlying principle for that heter is that there is no desire that a person has for the mother, so also any time that you have a situation where there's absolutely no desire, and we have an umdana that this class of people has no desire, so therefore there is going to be no Isser Yichud. And the interesting thing is that when you read both Rashi and the Tosos HaRosh, they are expansive in their heter. And they say that Misyachid Adam and Achoso applies to anyone who you don't have a Yetzahara, which means all relatives. Both the Tosos HaRosh says that, and Rashi says that also. Right? Dilo migri bikrovasa, that there is no Yetzahara on relatives. That's what Rashi is saying. That means that according to Rashi and the Tosos HaRosh, Yichud is permitted with your aunts. Right? Yichud Wifehood is permitted with anyone who you can't marry. Cousins are forbidden. But aunts, right? That's the paradox, right? Aunts would be permitted, etc. So Yichud would be permitted with your aunt according to the Tosfos, Harosh, and Rashi. Now, this is a big kula, because this means that the principle which the Gemara has about a sister, and Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin like, we are now going to extend to say, well, not only is it mutter by a sister, but it's mutter by all relatives as well, based on the same reason. That's already a very interesting type of idea.
You just kind of negated all of Yichud D'Oraisa. The only thing that's left is Yichud
D'Oraisa. Eishes Ish. Yichud D'Oraisa really is Eishes Ish. Your friend's wife is Usser. But Yichud with relatives. So Rav Moshe, first of all, says that he thinks that Rashi and the Tosafot Rashi only apply to relatives which are blood relatives. So a mother-in-law is still forbidden. Or a daughter-in-law is still forbidden. It's only blood relatives. What? Yeah, you might have a Yitzhahara. In fact, the Gemara in Pesachim in one place says that you have to be very careful about a mother-in-law with the first son-in-law. That the mother-in-law is going to... a strange Gemara.
Well, especially in a time when people got married much younger. I mean, if you're 40 and your son-in-law is 20, that's a little different from you being 50.
And your son-in-law being 9, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's a little different. That's true. No, the basic point is that Rav Moshe assumes that relatives who are blood relatives, Yichud is permitted on a temporary basis, which according to Rav Moshe means as long as you're living out of a suitcase. This is a big kula. You go, for me this always comes up, you go to Israel, so am I allowed to stay over by my aunt, which would save me a lot of money instead of going to a hotel. Right? She's not married, or... whatever the case is. So, is Yichud going to be permitted in that situation? According to Rav Moshe, it would be. Rav Moshe would say that, now, it happens that the Chofetz Chaim wrote a sefer called Nidchei Yisrael. Nidchei Yisrael is a sefer that the Chofetz Chaim wrote, because there were a lot of Jews who were conscripted into Tsar Nicholas's army. What was it called? There was a technical term for the Cantonist decrees, right. So, at this time, the Jews would go into the army for some 40 years at a time. The Chofetz Chaim decided to write a sefer to teach them all the basic halachos that they need to know when they're in the army. So he has a section in that sefer in the Nidchei Yisrael on Hilchos Yichud. So in Hilchos Yichud, he writes that Yichud is forbidden with relatives. It's only permitted with a sister. It's only permitted even on a temporary basis with a sister. Again, I don't know what the clear hachra'a is. It's not a very clear issue. It's not an issue that comes up all that often, but it's interesting to note that there's this machlokas between Rav Moshe and the Chafetz Chaim about Yichud with other relatives. Okay, now, one of the big issues that come, other topics that are worth discussing in terms of Yichud, just very briefly, engaged couples, there's a chumrah that the Darkei Moshe quotes in Evan Ezra, that when you're engaged, you should be more machmir in Yichud than at any other time. And the reason he gives is not what I would have thought the reason. I would have thought that the reason is that after Shidduchim, there's a greater likelihood that maybe you'll violate some averis. The Darkei Moshe gives a reason, shelo yakutsu ze bazeh. They shouldn't become disgusted one with the other. They shouldn't become... which is interesting.
Maybe it's a euphemism.
Unlikely. No, doesn't sound that way.
Meaning not like that the couple become too familiar.
Yes, not that they'll become too familiar, but that they're going to end up... I always imagine that like she'll come down in the morning with like the curlers in her hair or something, and that type of situation. I don't know. Now, what about Yichud with adopted children? This is the big question. This is a big question. Yichud with adopted children. Is there a heter? Now, the simple reading is... Well, first of all, let's do one other topic. Rav Moshe has another tshuva, and Tzitz Eliezer has this also, that this idea of Yichud being permitted with relatives is based on biology. Right? A mother and a son biologically have no desire for one another. That's the assumption. Therefore, let's say you have a mother and a son who both convert to Judaism. They allowed, the whole family converts to Judaism. So the halacha is that the mother isn't the mother of the son halachically anymore. But biologically, it's his mother. Is the son allowed to have yichud with his mother? Right? This is Rav Moshe's question. So Rav Moshe says he thinks it's permitted because the idea by a mother and a son is that biologically speaking, psychologically speaking, people just don't have desire for their mother. So, therefore, yichud is heter gomer even after you convert, because even though halakhically she's not your mother, but you still have no desire. That's a big kula that Rav Moshe and the Tzitz Eliezer both have, that yichud in the case of geirus is permitted. These are shilas that come up.
But she's still biologically his mother.
So that's why Rav Moshe is meikel. Since biologically it's the mother, so therefore there's no desire, even though one could argue halakhically it's not his mother anymore. So Rav Moshe feels that that still is permitted.
Biological, or is it nurture from the fact that she raised
Okay, so that's the next stage. Now we get to adopted children. Right? Now we get to adopted children. That's the next stage. So, first of all, this is the big machlokas. When they put out the Sefer Otzer HaPoskim, which is the digest of all of the tshuvos on Eben HaEzer, so the Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote a letter to them, and he writes that you're doing such an amazing thing, this book is so important, I just want to tell everybody that in a book as important as this, you should point out that it's absolutely forbidden to adopt children because of the Isser of Yehud. That's what the Lubavitcher, and that's why Lubavitchers traditionally do not adopt children. Rav Soloveitchik remembers, and Rav Shechter writes this up in the Nefesh HaRav, that sometimes those nights when the Rav was here in New York, there'd be long lines of Lubavitchers knocking on his door to ask him shilas. And Rav Soloveitchik wasn't really getting it at the beginning. He's like, why are you asking me shilas? Don't you have your own poskim? Why are you coming all the way up here to Washington Heights, stay in the Crown Heights to ask shilas? He said, no, we have a shilas we wanted to ask you about adopting. And
oh my God.
Yeah.
This is a long-standing Lubavitcher midnight, or is it only with the most recent Rebbe?
I don't think it was before this most recent Rebbe. I don't think adoption was as prevalent. I just don't think so. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe felt that it's usser to adopt because of the Isser Yichud. The Shevet HaLevi, Rav Wozner, in Bnei Brak, says, Bizman hazeh, let's just read it, Bizman hazeh shkiyach ma'od bezug shalo zachu lebanim she'im ma'amsim lahem yelad al yalda legadzoan b'makom banim. It's very common in our generation that a couple does not have children will adopt a child, a son or a daughter, to raise instead of children. Pshita upshita denoheg isra yichud al piha ofanim hamuzkarim besimin zeh. It's obvious that there is a prohibition of yichud. That's what the Shevet HaLevi says. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is quoted in the Dvar Halacha as saying that he thinks maybe this situation you could rely on a kula of Pesach Pasuach or Rishus HaRabim, even though it's libo gaspa. Right, we spoke about that when we discussed Pesach Pasuach, that many poskim assume that there's no heter of Pesach Pasuach if you already have a very familiar relationship with that person. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said that the adoptive parent and the adoptive child are considered gaspa, but maybe still you could be meiko on yichud Pesach Pasuach or Rishus HaRabim. He's not willing to go much further than that. The Tzitz Eliezer, however, and Rav Moshe are both meikel on yichud with adoptive children. They're both meikel. It's interesting that Rav Moshe writes very interestingly in this tshuva. First of all, the issue is that the practice in those days, I think today the practice is different. I think when Rav Moshe is writing the tshuva, the practice was that they didn't want to tell the child that the child was adopted until very late. Today, I think psychologists feel that's healthier to tell the child at a younger age that the child is adopted. So one of the issues that comes up is if you're not telling the child is adopted, and every time there's like a yichud situation, so you have to have other guests over, like, hey mom, hey dad, how come we're never alone together? It's a little bit strange. Or what about hugging and kissing also? What about hugging and kissing the child? So Rav Moshe, interestingly, writes, he goes, oh, hugging and kissing, that's not a problem at all, because everybody knows that this, he writes it right in the middle, this type of hugging and kissing is not derech taiva v'chibas bia at all. It's not a lustful. It's not lustful in any sort of way. Ela derech chibuk v'nishuk l'banav u'bnosav, and this is absolutely permitted. Rav Moshe says, yeah, the hugging and kissing, that for sure is not a problem. But you want to know what the problem might be? Yichud. That might be the problem. So what's the heter for yichud? So Rav Moshe gives a heter. I underlined it for you. Rav Moshe says the heter for yichud is that the husband is scared to death. If he's going to try anything with this adoptive daughter, his wife is going to kill him. Or if she's going to try anything with an adoptive son, the husband will kill her. Eh? It goes both ways. So Rav Moshe says that since they know that they can't really try anything, there's this outside deterrent. V'tzarech lomer, diyari mi'ishto, shedei choshtaso, shebechazarosa, tachkar v'tidro shalbita. The wife will come back and she'll investigate. We'll ask questions to the daughter, la yasoma, v'yigalula shalachain, me'elu shenimtsim b'bayis tadir, imo, v'im ishto, ein leso, afim nizdamin, z'man kotzim b'no, v'im yasom shemigadlin. Right, so Moshe says that he thinks it's permitted because this external deterrent. This is Rav Moshe's idea. First of all, 2 points to make. One point is that this is Rav Moshe l'shitaso. Last week we spoke about how Rav Moshe invents external deterrents which he feels will be matir the Isser of Yichud. We spoke about the doctor office case, right? That Rav Moshe felt that perhaps in the doctor's office, because the doctor knows that he could be sued, he could get in trouble, things like that. People won't use him as a doctor anymore if he would try anything. So therefore, Rav Moshe felt that external deterrent is enough to be matir yichud in certain situations. So Rav Moshe, first of all, uses external deterrents. That's one point about Rav Moshe. Yeah. Siblings who are adopted, it's the same type of concern. Siblings who are adopted have two different biological parents. So this could be a very serious yichud issue, potentially. What?
Step-parents.
Right. So we'll talk about this in a second. Rav Moshe's kula is based on the external deterrent. The external deterrent, Rav Moshe doesn't speak about it from the perspective of the siblings. One could argue that it would be true also, but Rav Moshe's external deterrent only goes so far, right? He says that, therefore, let's say a couple adopts a child, but one of the spouses passes away. So now you have the father with the adoptive daughter, so Rav Moshe says it's no longer this external deterrent, so in that situation, the yichud is going to be usur. That's what Rav Moshe writes at the end of this tshuva.
Presumably also that single-parent adoptions would also be something that you really couldn't...
Right. According to Rav Moshe, single-parent adoptions would be a real problem.
Even the same gender?
Same gender, no. Because same gender, what's... Okay. There's no Isser Yichud. We don't pass in like Shmuel in terms of that. The Bach writes in one place that in the country that there are many Prusim, so maybe you should avoid Yichud with males. But we don't want to discuss that. Fine. So the Tzitz Eliezer, though, goes further than Rav Moshe. The Tzitz Eliezer thinks that the idea why there is no Isser of Yichud with adoptive parents, this is Chelak Vav Perek Mem. Chelak Vav Simen Mem in the Tzitz Eliezer is all about Yichud, and it's Perek Chaf Aleph, which is where he talks about adoptive children. So the Tzitz Eliezer says that, first of all, he dug up a Lavush, and the kids are Piskei Harash. And the Lavush and the Kitzur Piskei Rosh say that they think that the reason why there is no Isser Yichud is because Chazal, no Isser Yichud with a sister, etc., is because Chazal know that you're not going to do anything, there's an umdana. But the Kitzur Piskei Rosh goes a step further. He says, in any situation that you know they won't do anything, so then perhaps Yichud is heter gomer. Now, he says, I don't want to be makel in general, but in this type of situation, you're raising the child as your child. So the Tzitz Eliezer feels that's going to be mutter. In fact, there is a comment of the Chochma Shlomo on the side of Shulchan Aruch in Simen Aleph of Eben Ezer. The Chochma Shlomo argues that there's a certain kiyum of pru revu when you adopt a child. If you adopt a child, the pasuk considers it as if you bore the child. So, based based on this, it's viewed like it's your child, so therefore the Tzitz Eliezer says he thinks there's going to be absolutely no Isser Yichud, and it could be, according to the Tzitz Eliezer's rationale, that in the case of siblings also there's going to be no Isser Yichud, because they're raised as a family. Now, in strict halacha, it's difficult to come up with this heter. Most blended families deal with these issues. Again, step-parents, etc., they deal with these yichud issues. They are very serious questions. They are not simple questions to deal with, but the Tzitz Eliezer is the big makel. Fine. So this is yichud, it's all relative. This is all of the relative issues in yichud. I just wanted to speak for a few moments about shomrim, about having other people present who can solve the problem of yichud for you. The Mishnah, if you remember, told us that it is forbidden to have yichud one man with two women. That the Mishnah says forbidden. However, Amar Rava, the Gemara, the Ban says, "Misyachid adam imshtei yivamos." You're allowed to have yichud with two sisters-in-law. Why are you allowed to have yichud with two sisters-in-law? So you have to remember, at the time of Chazal, the time of the Gemara, so there's an institution called Yibam. If one of the brothers is going to die without children, so then the wife will fall to Yibam to the other brother. So then it could be that these people are going to be co-wives. And traditionally, co-wives hate each other. So they already hate each other beforehand. So therefore, there's no concern that anything will go, that they'll cover for each other. So the poskim say, even if they have children, and technically Yibam is not permitted, but Chazal say that Yichud with two Yivamos is permitted. And the Chochmas Adam quotes this, Lahalocha, even though Bizman Hazeh, we do not do Yibam. Ashkenazi practice is that we no longer do Yibam. Ashkenazi practice that we don't do. I'm going to refrain from telling the story. Ashkenazi practice that we no longer do Yibam. But even so, we hold that there's a heter of Yichud with two Yivamos. The Gemara also says other cases that Yichud is permitted, Mishtei Tzaras, two co-wives, Isha v'chamusa, Isha v'aspayla, these are all cases where Yichud is permitted. And then the Gemara gives us the big one, Isha v'tinokas, she'il da'as tam bia, ve'ein museris atzma l'bia. This is the big kula. You're allowed to have Yichud, remember, Yichud usually is forbidden with two women. But I can have Yichud with two women if one of those women is a ketana, who is yoda'as tambiya, she understands what sexual relations are, but in moseres atzma labiya, she won't give herself over. Now, what does this mean? What does this mean? She is yoda'as tambiya. So, this simple reading, Rashi comments, yoda'as tambiya is kelomar, right? There's Rashi on Amid Beis, Rashi on the third sheet. Kelomar, Rashi says, mahi biya shateda wasaper dvarm. She has to know what Bia is in order to tell people. It's a type of kid. Kids at a certain age are very into, they'll tell everything. No? They'll tell everything. I remember when I actually was a candidate to be the rabbi here in the shul, so I didn't tell my son yet. I didn't tell my son that I was considering becoming rabbi of shul. So one of his friends in the neighborhood said, I heard your Abba's going to be the rabbi at Mount Sinai. And then my son comes and says, Abba, you're going to be the rabbi at Mount Sinai? And I'm like, So kids tell everything. So that heter, because kids tell everything, that is why yichud is permitted with a ketana who knows about bia but won't tell. The achronim say it's not only a ketana; it's also true by a katan. If you have a little boy, little boys, from my experience, I can tell you, talk just as much as little girls, and they tell their friends everything also. So that's why yichud is permitted. Now, does the child actually have to know what bia is? Some of the Achronim say yes. Some of the Achronim say it has to be that the child has been educated in the birds and the bees. Until the child is educated, so you can't use this heter. I think the Tshuvos of Rebbe Avadia Hadaya in the Yasko Avde says that. Perhaps that's what Rashi means. Others assume that no, it doesn't really mean that they have to know what bia is. It has to mean that they'll know that there's something weird going on here and they'll tell their friends. You know, Dad had somebody over, and it was like so strange what was going on over there. So that itself could be the heter. How old is this? How old is this? So again, it's not really clear in poskim. It probably depends on the age of the child. As a general rule, we assume the age of 6 or 7. The age of 6 or 7 is when the heter begins, And it continues, according to the Bach, until the age of 9 only. The Bach has a diuk from the Gemara that the young girl, once she's 9 years old, will be Moseres Atzma Labia. The later poskim say, no, that's don't make sense. It doesn't make sense. So they assume that it goes to around the age of 12. Goes to the age of 12. So as a general rule, like for now, my yichud situation at home is much easier than it was 2 years ago, or last year even. I have a 7-year-old daughter, and it really solves a lot of issues. There is one Shuba Sefer says that your own daughter isn't matir, but the Achronim don't like that. So I'm allowed to come home at night, and the babysitter is home with my baby, and my 5-year-old daughter is home, my 7-year-old daughter is home, and my 7-year-old daughter could be matir the yichud, right? Could be matir the yichud entirely, because she's a katana who presumably would be yodas tambia ve'ena moseres atzma labia. There's other details in this case, but this is also a major heter. Okay, so this I think is any questions before we wrap up. Yeah.
I need help understanding the chazanish, which we mentioned earlier about. He said
we pass it from the Gemara. So I think what the Chazon Ish is saying is that, you know, sometimes, you know, there are different ways of saying it. I could say that Chazon Ish is saying that sometimes Shulchan Aruch gets it wrong. And we should really, it's difficult. It's very difficult. If Tosos and the Rush pass me like Rav Asi, how come we don't? So the Chazon Ish said, this is his language, Ein lanu lisatos mi pashto sugyas ha-gemara v'chein pershu ha-rishonim. That we don't diverge from the simple reading of the Gemara and the Rishonim that Yichud is permitted with your sister. That's a very suggestive statement. You have to do more research in terms of the Chazon Ish and how he passed it in general. But it sounds like he says that we do not divert from the simple reading of the Gemara and the Rishonim, even when it's against Shulchan Aruch.
I think that's typical Chazon Ish. He always goes back to the Gemara.
Yeah, but yes and no, no. I mean, usually the Chazon Ish is very bound by Shulchan Aruch often. You have to do more research. I can't say I've learned enough Chazon Ish to comment on his methodology. Yes?
You said that nobody is not here, like Shulchan Aruch.
Yichud with his sister, yeah.
Right.
Even Sfaradim, no one, to the best of my knowledge, no one in the world is machmir on Yichud with a brother and sister.
The Ramah does not bring down...
I gave you the Shulchan Aruch, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no Ramah. It's difficult. It is very difficult. How come the Ramah doesn't make a comment? He always makes comments when you miss the Rosh and you miss Ashkenazi Rishonim. It's very difficult. Like, they caught him sleeping in this case. I don't know. But yeah, Yichud with his sister should be mutter. Okay. So I thank you all for coming. I think this choice of topic actually worked out very well, and I hope that you'll join us next week when we begin talking about lying. Okay.